You're listening to the Chances Report on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, joined in the studio by the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mike Lovell. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, I've been looking at your schedule for this last month, and man, you've been really busy. We'll get to some of your travels, but congratulations. You have a new athletic director.
We're so excited to have Amanda Braun come to UWM, and you know she was at Northeastern most recently in Boston, but she's a Broadhead, Wisconsin native, and she spent a lot of time up in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with Northeastern University. I mean, what's the fit for her and Milwaukee?
Well, the very similar size institution, Division I, like we are, and she was the head associate athletic director there. Like UWM, they don't have football. Basketball is their big sport. They also have hockey, is also a very big sport, but very similar. I think they have 16 or 17 Division I sports there. We have 15 at UWM. So in her background, she knows the UW system. You know, she spending, I think, 6 years at Green Bay. She really is going to be a great fit.
Yeah, and Green Bay has got a very strong program, too. So she's clearly been with very strong programs.
Yeah, that's true. And she played college basketball. She was a student athlete. And what really struck me, you know, when she came and visited campus and talked to us is she's really intelligent. She's going to be a thought leader. She has a lot of energy. And she really, the other thing that struck me, she's a really good listener. And I think she'll just work out really well, have a real good influence on our athletic programs.
So what's her number one charge? What other than sort of, you know, figuring out Milwaukee and the campus and its needs and things like that? I mean, what's your expectation?
Well, you think about, you know, our athletics program, we've been tremendously successful in terms of the Horizon League. You know, we've won the McCaffrey Trophy, I think, 5 out of the last 10 years, which is for the top all-around sports. And so we've really done exceptionally well. And we've done it in spite of having a really huge facilities deficit. And that's a tribute to our coaches. We have, I think, I would stack our coaches up against any coaches in the Horizon League. They're just fantastic people, and they're great teachers and good recruiters. But, you know, we don't have... You know, right now we have a Division I baseball team without a baseball field, Division I track and field team without a track, and all the sports share the arena, you know, with the Clatchy Center, you know, and so it is literally busy from 6 in the morning till midnight. And so we really need her to help, you know, come in and help us with the facilities plan and then go about helping us raise money to build the buildings.
Yeah, so fundraising is going to be a key part of her job.
Oh, certainly. And she does have a lot of experience, particularly in Northeastern, of raising funds, both working with the corporate side but also with individual donors.
Mm-hmm. How important is it for her to raise the visibility of the program in the community? Because within UWM, within the student community, obviously there's a certain amount of interest. But is that a priority for a program like this?
Well, I think the one thing that you see is that it's one way for the community and the alumni to engage with the university is through athletics. It's probably, you know, you certainly know in the Big Ten schools like Madison, you know, it's probably the way they most commonly outreach to the community and to their alumni. For us, you know, we need to do the same. We need to raise our profile. But we also understand that where we are in terms of Division I athletics, you know, we're not going to ever get away from it. But the reality is that we are really training student-athletes who are going to be future leaders. I think I mentioned before to you on the radio, more than 1 in 3 of our student-athletes are scholars, and we're very proud of that. Our student-athletes have an 82% graduation rate. Our general population has 42. So they're definitely accomplishing a lot, and that's really what our focus is, the student-athlete experience on our campus, mm-hmm. more so than winning Division I basketball titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she starts May 1. I suspect she's going to have a very busy summer.
Yes.
Hey, speaking about busy, you've been on the road. Among the many trips you've been making, I know you spent some time at Iowa State. You had an opportunity there to speak about the collaborations between university and industry. What was that all about?
Well, yeah, I was invited there to give a talk really about leadership and things that we're doing here in Milwaukee, because one of the things that I'm very proud of is the way that we collaborate with industry is really a new model, you know, for the future. And for us, it's just a natural with over 60,000 corporations, you know, for me being an engineer, 1,300 engineering firms. It makes a lot of sense for our to partner with industry to help with our future and really the future of the region. And so some of the things that we're doing have actually gotten some national attention. I've talked about them in Washington, D.C. Some folks in Iowa State are familiar with them and they wanted to come find out what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. This is, again, we've talked about this on the show, that just the fact that we're talking about a university collaborating with a university 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't you wouldn't see it as much as I think you're seeing it today. But it's also, I think, impacted by how the economy is changing.
Yeah. And again, as you have more fiscal pressures on universities, one way that you can alleviate those is by partnering with others and taking advantage of resources with others, whether it be other universities or folks in industry. We talk a lot about the medical college as we move to Wauwatosa, not duplicating anything they have and building things that will help them be more successful in collaboration with us. And with industry, you know, we have labs on our campus, you know, particularly our partnership with Johnson Controls that we never could have built otherwise because they knew that they could strategically invest in us to help with technology and talent development by placing these new labs in our campus.
Mm-hmm. So do you see the collaborations for UWM and other universities like Iowa State being necessarily the collaborations of industries in their own communities, or does it get broader than that? Can UWM reach into collaborations with companies that aren't even in Wisconsin or maybe not even in the U.S.?
Certainly. And that's something that, you know, when I was in Pittsburgh, I ran a industry university cloud research center that had the universities involved in that were – there was two of them in the Pittsburgh region, Carnegie Mellon University of Pittsburgh, but it also had the University of Massachusetts, Virginia Tech, University of Central Florida. And so it was really all over the East Coast, eastern half of the country, you know, we were partnering together.
Mm-hmm. We also discussed, sometimes I feel on this program, we always talk about the things we discussed in previous programs because they get updated and new conversations have to take place. But I remember you and I having a conversation on this program about all of the efforts that this institution and most institutions are spending these days on recruiting students. We just talked about partnerships with industries that may not be in the same state, but there's also a need and a desire to recruit students from out of state. And we talked about why would a student from Iowa, Nebraska, California want to come to UWM? Well, obviously for the great weather in Milwaukee. Yeah. But having said that, I know that you guys have been working on conducting some focus groups with current freshmen.
Yeah, and so part of this initiative is the fact that, you know, I think we mentioned previously that we're really working on something called the Milwaukee Advantage, and that is really recruiting students from Midwestern states. Particularly, we're part of a Midwestern Compact that allows students from, 11 Midwestern states to come to UWM and pay 1.5 times our tuition. And so it's a compact that they have similar arrangements. And we want to take students from those states for which we want to expand this program even further into and actually send recruiters to find out what has been their experience at UWM? What have they found? You know, what's it been like? You know, how can we improve things? So when we go then to start recruiting, we say, this is what your peers are telling us about UWM. This is why you may want to come here. Mm-hmm. And so we just recently held one of these focus groups, and it was really interesting to hear some of the things that they had to say.
Yes, like what?
So one of the groups of students actually said that, you know, when they were high school, they said their teachers used to tell them, well, you should really appreciate us because when you go away to college, your professors aren't going to really care about you. In fact, they might even talk to you, you know, outside of being in class. And what the students said, in reality, it was just the opposite. They found that our faculty were very friendly and approachable and extremely helpful, and they really took an interest in what they wanted in the learning that they were doing, and they were really impressed by that. And the students were not only glad that they picked UWM, but they told their friends back where they were from that, yeah, you should really look at UWM to come here. And it was interesting because we hadn't really been recruiting as part of this, the Milwaukee Advantage, you know, with the other states, they kind of fell to find us by accident. Maybe there was one program they were interested in, like maybe our film program or architecture that they had heard about us from, or maybe they just happened to go by Milwaukee and saw our sign and decided to look more into us. So I think that the fact now that we are going to be actively recruiting and now we have these set of students that have had a pod experience, we're going to utilize them to help recruit for us.
Sure. So obviously, you know, UWM is a fairly large university, but it's not so large that faculty don't interact with students, or there aren't, you know, the 1,000-seat lecture halls that some people may still remember, you know, as being the norm.
Yes. And be totally honest with you, one of the things I also hear from our students are transfer students that come from places even like Madison, and they talk about one of the things that really struck them when they come from a place like Madison is that they have primarily faculty members teaching their courses, and they get to know their faculty when they come from other places, you know, not to pick on Madison. They said that a lot of times they weren't taught by faculty, and they didn't really get to know the faculty in the same way they get to know on our campus. And so that's helpful. Another thing that the students that came from out of state talked about was actually the city itself, how much they liked the city of Milwaukee and all that they had to do here. And, you know, just between the athletics, you know, whether it be the Brewers or the Bucks, or, you know, take advantage of the resources around the arts, and whether it be the museums. They said they feel safe. You know, it was really just a nice place to go to school.
Yeah, and the safety issue is important not only for the students, but certainly for the parents of these students wanting to make sure that their kids are in a safe environment, even though, you know, you're in an urban, a major urban city.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, again, when I meet with parents that come in for orientation sessions, the thing that they say to me is that, like most of the time, it's maybe the first time they've ever been on our campus, it says, you know, we were concerned about our son or daughter coming to Milwaukee, but when we come onto your campus, we realize even though you're an urban campus, you're in a very nice neighborhood in Milwaukee, and it is definitely your small, enclosed campus that we feel very good about our son or daughter, you know, walking the streets. And
The institution has been working very hard on diversity issues and not only the student population, but the climate within the university. Do the freshman students pick up on that?
Oh, sure. And that was the third thing that they said was the fact that one of the reasons why they came to Milwaukee is because they were looking for a more diverse population than they maybe went to high school with. And, you know, we're at the point now where we're almost 30% of our students are of color, so we have a very diverse student population. We also have a very diverse faculty. We have faculty from around the world teaching on our campus. And so I believe that the students that are looking for diversity, you know, we're a great place for them.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised by any of this?
I was very surprised. You know, this was, you know, unscripted, but it gave us great material for us to go out and recruit others with. You know, some of the things that they said, particularly about the faculty, though, I've heard transfer students say the same thing. So that part didn't surprise me. But the way that they've really engaged with Milwaukee and the diversity that we have to offer, that was a little surprising.
Yeah, well, now you got all these disciples who can help with your recruitment. That's great. it was National History Day at UWM, and you got to meet some young people who were engaged in history.
Yeah, and this is the third straight year that I've gotten to go to this competition, and it's really for middle to senior high school students. And it's great because we have about more than 400 students come, you know, to UWM and take part in this competition. And it's really neat to see because we have over 100 of our faculty and staff volunteer to be judges. Huh. So talk about the whole campus getting engaged in something. And, you know, I couldn't be prouder, you know, of our campus for hosting this. And the students themselves, what an impressive group of students. Talk about recruiting.
Yeah.
You know, these are the students we want to have, you know, come to our campus because they are really doing an outstanding job with their academics and having these outreach. And so it was really neat.
Yeah, 30 area schools I see participated in that. So that's a big commitment on the part of a lot of, high school kids, young kids?
Yeah, I mean, high school, middle school kids and all their teachers. That was the other thing, that not only did the students come to the campus, but all the teachers of these students were on campus.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I wish I had all these opportunities when I was in high school. You're listening to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Mike Lovell, the Chancellor of UWM, is our guest in conversation. Not only the Chancellor, but he also goes on stage with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. What did you play? What did you perform?
I didn't play or perform anything. I just greeted everyone and thanked.
What was that about?
Well, this is part of the Peck School of the Arts, and is again one of our major things where we had two of our theater students perform with a symphony, and it was just a remarkable. It was beyond the score. It was Dvorak Symphony No. 9, and it was great because the students actually read the history of how the symphony was developed before they actually played it. But they played, you know, what they were talking about. It was really neat, and it was great that the Milwaukee Symphony, you know, wanted to partner with us and do this unique type of performance.
What an incredible opportunity for students to get out there and be able to perform on that stage.
You know, and I was so proud. They were incredible, both of the students that took part in it. you know, it was great.
I can only imagine what that must be like. Well, maybe even for you. I mean, just standing on that stage, you speak before large groups, but, you know, these young people performing with confidence in front of an audience.
Yeah. And it was a really good turnout. And, you know, I think it's an experience that they will remember, you know, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great opportunity. I know you've been continuing with your quest to not only visit with new students, but also alumni.
Yeah. And this is, again, this is something that's it's very important to our future, is making sure that we are engaging with our alumni, because, you know, obviously, you know, they can be our advocates and they can give their time and talents to the campus. And we can really – we draw on our alumni a lot, whether it be to serve on boards on the campus or doing some unique things. And so, you know, I recently met with the Alumni Association Emeritus Board, and, you know, these are some older folks that, you know, serve on our board in the past, and they're still very engaged, very interested in the university, you know. And then I did also meet with our employees. We have 1,200 individuals who – our alumni that work at UWM. Again, talk about being doubly engaged to our campus. You know, it's just great. These folks are, you know, not only are they interested in UWM because they got their degree there, but they're also a vibrant part of what we're trying to accomplish and move the campus forward.
Mm-hmm. Including many of us at WUWM, by the
way. That's right.
Also heard you got to go to spring training.
Yes. Yeah. Again, this is the third year that I got to go to spring training, and it was really neat. We had a 2 days kind of events for the alumni. The first day, we had an event at Taliesta West, you know, which is a Frank Lloyd Wright home, and it was just amazing to see how he built that complex over a 40-year period and used the natural elements, you know, from kind of the desert and the mountains out there and drug boulders down from the hillside. And it just really was amazing. And then we had a dinner that night at an old ranch for the alumni, which was kind of neat. And then we had a tailgate with 160 alumni. I came to the tailgate for the game.
Are there pockets like that you find around the country where you will have like fairly large pockets of UWM grads?
Yes, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we've talked before, you know, we've been to Seattle, Chicago, New York, you know, some of the bigger places, but certainly in the winter, Phoenix and Florida, you know, are real good places to visit because we have so many people that have found their way down there for different reasons when weather's cold.
Yeah, that's a really tough assignment for you. And then I also find out you get to throw out the ceremonial first pitch.
Yeah, it was. And again, that was a lot of fun. And believe it or not, there was two of us that threw out first pitches, and the first one was the professional wrestler Honky Tonk Man was the first one.
And you got to follow that.
Yeah, but the good news is that he stood about halfway between the mound and home plate, got the ball there, and I went up on the mound and threw one over the plate. So
that
was fun. Yeah,
blowing inside.
Yeah,
I was right in the middle, actually.
Right,
that's pretty darn good, man. They may need you, you know, as the season progresses.
I don't think so, but it was fun.
You might be getting that. Yeah, it'll be another partnership between the university and industry. FEMA, a Federal Emergency Management Agency, in town to form a partnership with UWM. What is FEMA doing with UWM?
Well, it's interesting. This goes back to a couple of our alumni. Are at FEMA and doing great things. And so as one of the charters that FEMA has, you know, as an emergency management agency, is they've been asked to reach out to the community and have more partnerships with the community. And so one of our students actually that was working at FEMA came up with the deal, why don't we have these think tank sessions? So they came to UWM, and they had a open forum where people from all over the country could call in and ask questions and make suggestions about ways FEMA could do things differently or do things better. And it was great. We had, I think, the first think tank call, we had about 800 people from all over the country call in. It was facilitated. It was in our fireside lounge. And really they identified, the forum identified ways that FEMA can do things in collaboration with the community to build a stronger U.S. And the model was so well, you know, at the White House, actually the president has said this is really the model of the future, how we should be doing things. And they came back, you know, for the second days to talk about, okay, what are the next steps after we did that first think tank? And I really have to give props to Dean Stan Stojkovic, who, again, was really the one who took this and it was just the idea of the students and just really ran with it.
Yeah, so this wasn't an academic exercise. This was actually looking for solutions and ideas.
Yeah, and again, this comes directly from the White House's initiative for FEMA to be more open and in line with really their strategic plan to enhance their ability to learn and innovate their organization. So they look to the community and universities in particular as ways they can reach out and become more innovative.
So is it just the think tank, or are there other partnerships that, that you can do with FEMA?
Oh, and again, it's the there's going to be research projects that will emerge out of this. You know, so our faculty and students will be able to work on research projects. We're going to develop classroom incubators, so we're going to actually may enhance our coursework and our ability to do things for students in the classroom. And so it's there's really a, and again, this is just there's not a government agency that's doing anything quite like this. So it's really, I think, on the cutting edge. And so I don't know where it's going to end. It's kind of fun, you know, to see where this might go. But it's just nice to see somebody doing things differently and helping people be more innovative.
Yeah. Typically, I mean, who engages in that? I mean, who are the ones giving suggestions? Were these faculty?
We had faculty and students from across the campus. We had local people from our police and fire departments were there as well. It was great. People from the county, you know, people from the city. It was really a full community was there for the for an all-day meeting.
Yeah. Exciting focal point for UWM, too. Another event that happened in the community that I know UWM was a key sponsor of, and that was the Sustainability Summit, which our radio station was also involved in, and it seems to be growing year after year.
Yep.
And it really has become a big forum for, again, ideas and people to share, listen and share ideas around the environment and sustainability.
Exactly. And, again, I think it's a very important imperative for where we're going as a society. And I, the title actually talked about the economic and the ecological imperative, but I also think it's an educational imperative. I think that our students are very conscious of the environment and really want to be good stewards. And so the Sustainability Summit has also become a way that we're educating not only high school students but also college students. I believe there was several thousand students attended the summit, you know, over the 3 days that it was held here. And again, the other champions, you know, include MATC and the Wisconsin Technical College System and Marquette University. You know, so there's a very educational focus, you know, particularly from higher ed in the region, on making sure that people understand what sustainability is, but also, you know, how we can use it to change people's lives.
Yeah, but also, once again, major companies like A.O. Smith and Johnson Controls and S.C. Johnson. And so it is, again, a marriage of industry and academia.
And again, if you think about what Johnson Controls does, just as an example, sustainability is right in their sweet spot of what they're trying to do. When you think about energy efficiency and, you know, lithium-ion batteries for cars, and, you know, eliminating them for fossil fuels, really, these are all things that are critical, you know, to their mission and their bottom line. And so having them there really, again, speaks to the importance of not only this, you know, for the region, but around the globe.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I learned, and maybe I should have known this, but UWM has an Office of Sustainability.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. And we take sustainability very seriously, you know, on our campus. And
so what does that office do?
Oh, we do a lot of things. You know, we put a green roof. We have the largest, I believe, green roof on a public building in the state on our library. We have gardens where we're growing fruits and vegetables on top of our dormitories. That they serve in the residence halls. We have a huge recycling program. You know, so we actually take part in something called a Recycle Mania competition, and we actually have moved up from 84th to 59th place at about 275 colleges. And so, you know, they really help organize and drive this, and it's really making everyone aware on our campus, you know, of sustainable practices and how, you know, we can be better stewards.
Mm-hmm. From the environment to healthcare, two very important subjects and issues. I know that UWM, the College of Health Sciences, was behind a major forum on healthcare reform.
Yeah, and it was really, really well attended. It was you know, held a few weeks ago at the Italian Community Center, and our Dean Chikuka Emweka of our Health Sciences organized this forum. And I was amazed. They put this together. Talk about Ken Kaufman was the keynote speaker, who's really well known from down in the northern Illinois area. Came to talk about, you know, hospitals succeeding in the new era, and the forum had seating for about 400, and it sold out in almost no time. You know, this is such an important topic for the healthcare community, and, you know, I'm very proud of our College of Health Sciences for really having the, you know, having the forum or establishing the dialogue about how, you know, all of our healthcare providers in the region, you know, can be more successful as things change, particularly what's coming down at the national level.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably a great role for the College of Health Sciences and UWM, because there are so many questions mm-hmm. about what's happening. And, you know, you just talk about the subject of what's, you know, how do hospitals succeed, but people are concerned about their health care and what does that mean for industry and what does it mean? I mean, there's so many topics.
Oh, and it's great, because the nice thing about a university hosting something like this forum is a lot of times some of the healthcare providers are in competition with each other. So it's difficult for them to get together and talk about these things. But if we host it, we can invite them all to have the discussion. So we actually had a panel, you know, that had Bill Potasnik and Kathy Jacobson from Fratered Health, John Olivieri from Wheaton Franciscan, Mark Taylor from Columbia St. Mary's, and John Trance from Serigraph, you know, all on the panel, you know, discussing the issues and what they see for the future of healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a good example. You talk about the College of Health Sciences, which I know a little bit about, but, you know, they're making so many connections into the community. They're involved in so much research, and yet a school like that often doesn't even get the attention unless you're closely aligned to them. You don't realize how much is going on that impacts everyone's daily lives.
Yes, and that's right. And the students that were graduating, you know, we, in terms of physical therapy, occupational therapy, physical trainers, even nutrition, you know, as we have a new program in nutrition, these are, I mean, think about, you know, healthcare. These are a lot of times the fields that you don't naturally think of. A lot of times you think about, you know, nursing or, you know, the medical college, you know, training doctors and physicians. But these folks are just important in terms of providing healthcare to the community.
Yeah, and some would argue that as healthcare evolves and, you know, as the National Obamacare program rolls out, that these kind of supportive positions will become even more critical to providing healthcare into the future.
And I agree 100% with that.
Yeah. So as if you didn't have enough on your schedule, you also, I know, accepted an invitation from the Newman Center
yeah.
and talked with a bunch of students connected with the Newman Center.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the Newman Center is our Catholic center on campus, and it was a real good crowd, I think primarily because they had a free dinner. You know, so, but it was great to, you know, to talk about kind of, you know, I am Roman Catholic, and talk about my experience and growing up in the influence that religion has had on my life, and to talk to them about things that they were doing.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think sometimes people don't even realize that universities still have the connections with different religious groups such as this one.
Yeah, and we have so many religious centers on our campus. You know, in the past, I've talked to the Hillel group, you know, which is our Jewish community center for our students. I've talked to folks in other religious organizations, such as we have a very strong Lutheran presence on our campus, you know, and again, one of the things that we want to provide is opportunities for students to engage on the campus and feel like they're part of a community when they come, because we know they'll be more successful. So things like the Newman Center, Hillel, really, you know, provide a forum for students to have people with like interest mm-hmm. to talk to and hang out with.
Yeah, interesting. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us once again this month, and we'll look forward to your visit next month.
Thanks, Dave.
Michael Lovell is our guest in conversation. He, of course, is the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.